Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're on a pretty fascinating mission. We're going to be analyzing one of the sharpest, most cynical social critiques out there right now.
And the interesting thing is, it's not from, you know, a decades-old punk band or some cultural philosopher.
No, not at all. It's from a hybrid AI-assisted music project called The Monkey Dance.
And it is absolutely essential to understand the context here, because The Monkey Dance isn't really just a band. I mean, it is, but it's more of an educational and concept art project.
Okay.
It actually started from a student-run company, Schulfirma, at the Weingartenschulsteg in Germany, and they use AI tools not just to make art, but to explore the ethical challenges of those tools.
So it's a project about the process.
Exactly. The whole premise is called the AI Fair Image Challenge, and it's all about promoting a fair and critical use of technology.
And that, for us, is the central, and I mean stunning, paradox here. We're looking at these sources, specifically analyses from Emocit that describe this group producing this scorching satire aimed at really fundamental human failures.
Things like political populism, the machinery of fake news, our own hypocrisy.
So how does a creative project, one that's partially run by algorithms, manage to produce such potent commentary on the human condition? It almost feels like the AI is just looking at our patterns and saying,
you were remarkably predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
And that transparency, that predictability, that's really the crux of the project. We've analyzed 7 of their key tracks, and they fall pretty neatly into 3 major themes that we're going to explore.
What are we looking at?
First, political manipulation. Then, a really hard-hitting critique of systemic capitalism. And finally, a deep look at individual existential alienation. We're basically going to see how this human AI team dissects the modern world.
Okay, let's unpack this. Before we dive into the songs themselves, let's ground ourselves in the philosophy. You said concept art. What does that actually mean for how we should approach these songs versus, you know, just hearing them on the radio?
It means the idea behind the creation matters just as much, if not more, than the final acoustic result. The band specifically links itself to these historical precedents.
Like what?
Well, think of Yoko Ono and John Lennon's Give Peace a Chance. The song itself, it came out of a pacifist performance. The art was the act, the concept, or Kraftwerk's Autobahn. That was a conceptual sound journey, right?
Yeah.
Meant to reflect German post-war modernization.
So if the Monkey Dance is using AI to generate the lyrics, and maybe the music too, then the AI-generated song itself becomes the art.
Yes.
It's a commentary on authorship. It forces you to ask, if an algorithm can write such compelling satire about human failure, then who's the real artist?
Exactly. The core goal, and this comes from the educational framework they're in, isn't just about technical skills, you know, learning to use AI tools. It's crucially about developing ethical competency.
Right.
They want the listener and the students running the project to think critically about how these new tools are shaping our reality, our moral landscape, and our whole understanding of truth.
And the name is just a perfect summary of that concept. The Monkey Dance. This is an ancient motif, right? For mimicry, for satire, social subversion.
Oh, absolutely. Connects high culture, anthropology, contemporary media. The sources remind us that Darwin himself observed primate mimicry, so that grounds the whole concept ethologically.
Okay.
And semiotically, the monkey is the classic trickster figure, the mirror of human folly. From, you know, Renaissance artists like Hieronymus Bosch, who used the image to critique courtly excess.
Mindless imitation.
Right. All the way to contemporary art reflecting on consumerism and fragmentation.
Mm.
The monkey has always been this symbol of critique through imitation. The AI is just the newest, fastest mirror we have.
That sets the philosophical stage perfectly. Let's jump straight into the political content then. It starts with these 2 figures of manipulation, Pump and Lump.
Yes, and this is where the satire gets immediate and very pointed. These tracks are clear, direct political satires that reference modern populist figures and, most notably, Donald Trump.
So let's start with the first one. Hello, I'm Pump.
Hello, I'm Pump introduces this self-proclaimed, really charismatic king of the jungle. And the satire focuses on that aggressive, overblown self-confidence coupled with a willingness to just manufacture reality.
The sources highlight a line that really summarizes his whole strategy. If truth gets in the way, well, I just let it slide.
It's the perfect encapsulation of that whole rhetoric of alternative facts. Pump doesn't argue against the truth. He just dismisses it as an inconvenient obstacle. He boasts about telling the wildest stories.
And the setting, the jungle.
Yeah, the jungle's fascinating here. It's not just some colorful backdrop. It symbolizes the chaotic modern media age where sensationalism and rumor just triumph over any factual basis. survival depends on generating the most noise.
Does the AI make any distinction, though, between a politician who genuinely believes his own wild claims and one who's just cynically selling them for power?
The satire doesn't seem too concerned with internal motive, more with the external result. The power of the critique is showing that the outcome is the same. The system, this chaotic media landscape, it rewards the wildest, most assertive story, regardless of what the teller actually believes.
And then we move to the second character, Lump.
Right. Lump is presented in the song Lump, which uses the German title Lump der Herrscher der Mächtige,
which means
Lump, the ruler, the mighty one. This track focuses less on charisma and more on grandiosity and the spectacular failure to deliver on those inflated promises. The lyrics are very direct about moral corruption,
giving us that incredibly blunt line, "My pockets are heavy, my soul was sold."
Yes. It describes the cost of getting that power. And the ultimate consequence of ruling that way is just failure. He says, "I promise the moon, I deliver the dust." It's an empty spectacle.
But the critique doesn't stop with him, does it?
No, it extends to the followers who maintain the illusion. The song asks if his adherents are monkeys still cheering blind faith or just rust. Is it loyalty or is the societal fabric itself just decaying?
That takes us beyond the individual leader and right into the architecture of disinformation itself with the next song, Trust Me, It's True. This one targets the entire fake news machine.
It's brilliant. It uses hyperbole and just pure absurdity to expose the strategies of conspiracy culture. The song throws out these classic, specific examples like NASA's a hoax, the Earth is too.
Right.
And the absurdity just escalates. We hear about the lizards rule, they live next door, and even Elvis's fake retirement in Peru. The goal is to show the sheer volume of these contradictory, outlandish claims that are always circulating.
It almost sounds like a caricature of the most paranoid internet thread you've ever read.
Absolutely. It suggests paranoia itself has become a commodity. But the most crucial takeaway from Trust Me, It's True is what it identifies as the core target of all this disinformation. Critical thinking itself. The song's internal logic just demands, don't ask for proof, don't check my clue.
Because thinking is too much work.
Precisely. The purveyor of the conspiracy offers a simple, emotionally satisfying narrative by dismissing the need for complex, factual investigation. He says, because thinking is hard and I do it for you. It's a cynical sales pitch for intellectual surrender.
And this song just pulls the mask off completely in the outro, doesn't it? It reveals the bottom line. It's not about belief. It's about profit.
Oh, that outro is essential. It explicitly states the cynical economic motive. I made a fortune selling lies to you. The sources call this the Verschwörungsindustrie, or the conspiracy industry.
So it's a recognition that selling fear, doubt, uncertainty in uncertain times is now a lucrative economic model.
It's a business.
Okay, let's pivot now from the individuals of populism to the systems they inhabit, the economic power structures. This systemic critique of modern capitalism starts with who owns who.
And this is a sharp, really unromantic critique of wealth and control. The central thesis is simple. Money is the ultimate tool for manipulation. It effectively turns human beings into puppets.
Yeah.
It argues that capital dictates consciousness.
The Liants don't pull any punches at all. They state that money buys everything, your words, your thoughts, your view, and makes people dance like puppets. It's a view that suggests absolute market efficiency includes the market for human morality.
And that moral critique is relentless. The song argues that money doesn't just buy obedience. It actively destroys your personal identity and self-worth. The wealthy persona boasts, turn your pride to diamond trash.
Wow.
Loyalty is dismissed as something so passe, existing only temporarily for those who get my pay. It paints a truly nihilistic picture of modern commerce where everything and everyone have a price tag.
And that question repeated in the chorus, now tell me who owns who.
Yeah.
It forces you, the listener, to look inward. Are you free? Or are your opinions and loyalties dictated by economic necessity?
It challenges the very concept of autonomy. The song suggests that if we define ourselves by what we buy, we are inevitably owned by the system that sells it to us. The boundaries of ethics and morality just dissolve when enough wealth is concentrated.
That sets the stage for what is, I think, arguably the most provocative track in the sources. Your poverty pisses me off. This one adopts the shocking first-person persona of a rich elite member who openly brags about exploitation.
The persona is utterly without remorse. I mean, they explicitly detail how their wealth is built on suffering. I built up my kingdom on your sweat and tears, and the brazen admission that your misery's fuel for the cigars I smoke.
It's an extreme, unfiltered illustration of class warfare.
Completely. The rich directly benefit from the continuous degradation of the lower classes.
And this critique extends directly into the political sphere, arguing that even democracy is just another controlled mechanism.
That's right. The song suggests that the elite control the levers of government, regardless of public opinion. We hear these cynical lines, "You voted how sweet, but the numbers were mine," hinting at electoral manipulation, what the Germans call Wahl manipulation.
And the corruption is pervasive.
Mm-hmm. I buy all the judges, I silence the press. It critiques a system where justice and a critical media are simply assets to be purchased and controlled to maintain power.
But is the source material suggesting that all wealthy people think this way? Or is this an extreme caricature of the logic of capital concentration?
The source material positions it as a critique aligned with theories of neoliberalism. The song is characterizing the systemic logic that capital concentration naturally leads to.
The mechanism.
Yes, the mechanisms that allow the rich to continuously get richer while the majority faces systemic suffering. It's a targeted attack on the structural incentives of unfettered capitalism, not necessarily the inner monologue of every person with a bank account.
And here's where this deep dive gets really profound. We're connecting that external critique of systems, populism, capitalism to our own internal reflection and alienation. We turn the lens onto the individual, starting with the song, Filth Like You.
Filth Like You is relentless. It just hits modern societal hypocrisy head on. It asks us to confront the glaring contradictions we live with every single day.
The classic one. Claiming moral superiority while participating in the very system you claim to despise.
Precisely. That's perfectly captured in the line. They march for a cause, then shop for a shoe. It suggests that outrage and activism often coexist very comfortably with hyper-consumerism.
Right.
The song also critiques the manufactured nature of public sentiment. It notes that some people are angry on cue, implying that social media or mass media dictates when and how we express our outrage.
But the real sting is the acknowledgement of collective guilt, isn't it? The speaker doesn't stand outside the critique.
Not at all. The speaker includes themselves in the system. We spit on the sheep while we eat from their hand. And the refrain, filth like me, filth like you, reinforces that uncomfortable truth that no one is entirely outside this system of contradiction. The song forces you to acknowledge your own complicity.
And finally, the monkey dance connects this feeling of isolation and existential despair to high culture with Gregor Samsa is you. It's drawing on Franz Kafka's 1915 novella, The Metamorphosis.
Right, and for listeners who might not be familiar with it, the novella is about Gregor Samsa, who wakes up one morning transformed into a giant insect. Vermin, basically. The song summarizes this process, but it focuses intensely on the immediate familial rejection that follows.
It captures the chaos.
Oh, yeah. The mother knocking, the father shouting, and then the ensuing violence. Father's mad, he throws a shoe, hits you hard, you're turning blue.
The transformation into vermin, of course, isn't meant to be taken literally here. What's the powerful metaphor the song is working with?
It symbolizes modern alienation, crushing depression, and this dark societal belief that social utility, your ability to work and contribute economically, is the only thing that dictates whether you deserve love and acceptance.
Once he can no longer perform his job?
The family rejects him utterly. The song concludes the narrative by portraying his death as Erlösung, which means release or salvation. His isolation is so complete that only death offers any relief from the pressure of societal utility.
This has been a true deep dive, moving from the narcissistic dictator to the manipulated consumer to the utterly alienated individual. What's the unifying message of this entire project?
The sources conclude that the unifying message is the absolute necessity of critical distance, what we now call media literacy, in a world defined by just overwhelming manipulation.
Whether that manipulation is political, corporate,
or internal, through our own hypocrisy, the monkey dance acts as this necessary alarm bell. It uses the AI to shout, wake up and question the narrative.
And this brings us right back to the cultural context. The monkey dance motif, used historically by Hieronymus Bosch to critique courtly folly, is now being employed by a FAIR AI project to critique the excesses of modern media and power structures.
And this is our final provocative thought for you. What does it truly mean when an algorithm, a piece of code designed for efficiency and prediction, uses this centuries-old motif to satirize human failure?
What does it mean?
It suggests that the patterns of manipulation, greed, and blind followership are so predictable, so deeply ingrained in this recurring monkey dance of human society, that an algorithm can write the playbook effortlessly.
So the real challenge for you, the listener, is not to just appreciate the satire.
No, it's to recognize the choreography of the dance in your own life,
yeah,
and then choose to step out of the routine.